Hey fashionpreneurs, my name is Jess and welcome to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Hi fashionpreneurs, welcome back to another entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries. This entry I'm really excited about because I kind of talked about it a little bit on the Fashionpreneur Academy's Instagram earlier this week. I found this meme and it was very controversial to me. It was like this picture of Lil Wayne, and Lil Wayne is like holding all this money and he's holding it tight to him, like, and the cap showed the verbiage above the image. It had said, when I'm trying to support a black business, but the owner has an attitude. And I was like, let me repost this, right? So I reposted it. I didn't really give my opinion more. So I just said, you know, black businesses, all businesses, we got to do better. But tell me your thoughts below. And it was very interesting to hear a lot of the different thoughts, or read a lot of the different thoughts, right? So I was really taken aback a little bit by some of the comments. I was very surprised to see how many people didn't support their own. I was very surprised. I was very excited also to hear some feedback from people, and also some bad experiences that people have had, or what they consider bad experiences that I didn't think really was more so a bad experience. And I'll tell you why. So today, our topic is all about black businesses. And I want to go over that negative connotation that black businesses have bad customer service. So I want to get into that. We've never really dived into this topic. Surprisingly, I've touched on it a little bit, but we haven't had an entire entry about it. So today I want to discuss that with you guys and just kind of discuss my opinion on it. And yeah, that's just what we're going to do today. So sit back. I hope you enjoy. This is something that I do want to just kind of say is kind of controversial. I do feel like it is opinionated. For me, I am speaking off experience as a black business owner, especially a black woman business owner that has no protection out here in these streets whatsoever when it comes to being a CEO. I don't feel like I'm protected at all. And I want to talk about kind of why our history kind of has built us to be the way we are. So I don't know if you guys know, but black women are the leading innovators in entrepreneurship. We are driving entrepreneurship. We are always consistently each year number one when it comes to the minority group that is more so directed towards entrepreneurship and growing. However, I noticed that when I read a lot of these reports and I gain the data and I read the American Express report for women business owners every year, I see that we are not leading in hiring. We are not leading in employment. So we're leading in opening businesses, but we're not leading in employment and creating opportunities. And I want to talk about this today. So this is my opinion. Give it yours. But I like to come with receipts. So like I said, I really want to make sure that you guys understand that this is completely up to you. Everybody's had different experiences, right? So I think we should respect each other's experiences. I really respected a lot of the comments that we had gotten on social when we talked about this. And I'm excited today to kind of dive into my opinion as a CEO, right? All right. So as a CEO, guys, let me tell you a little bit of my demographic here. So I'm a black woman, obviously. I am 29 years old. I am from the inner city. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I relocated to Los Angeles, California. I worked in corporate America for 5 years. So I've been an employee. I've worked entry level and worked my way up to be a property manager when I was at that job. And here I am today, a CEO of multiple businesses within fashion. And I do feel as though I've seen a lot. I've experienced a lot when it came to working in corporate America, but also working in retail and also attending school for fashion design. And I wanted to kind of go back to those roots a little bit to kind of help you guys understand why I think this way. So first things first, the first experience I had in entrepreneurship as a black woman was when I attended the youth entrepreneurship group that was funded through the NAACP. It was held at Morgan State University, and I was able to get a spot. I was 14 years old. My mother was able to connect me, get me a spot inside of the camp. I thought you couldn't tell me I was not about to take over, y'all. Within this camp, you got $500 for your business at the end of the program, and multiple students that were inside of the program, they were also eligible for a scholarship. And I had won that scholarship at the end of the program. So I was really proud and excited. And that is where my business Irregular Exposure was born, right? So I was super, super, super excited because I knew I was onto something. So the first person that invested in me was a Black woman. All right. And what I mean by that is not just my mom. That's not who I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the instructor of that youth entrepreneurship program through the NAACP. Her name was Miss Lisa. And Lisa had her very own cookie shop in Randallstown, Maryland. I will never forget it. And it was owned by her and her family. It was her husband, and her two sons. And they ran this place together, and she took time out of her day to mentor us at no cost to her. No value to her when you think about it from a monetary standpoint. It was more so her sowing seeds. And I think that we forget the importance of that. And I remember her cookie shop. It was around for many years. It was so inspiring just to see her with this amazing shop and watch it grow and watch it flourish. And I remember just wondering, like, I wonder why she takes the time to give back. I'm 14 years old. I wondered, why did this woman want to invest in us? Because half of us that were in the program weren't serious. A lot of them, I remember one of my girlfriends was in the program making up business concepts just so she can get the $500 at the end. Like, it was ridiculous, right? I was like, why is she investing into these people that aren't invested into themselves? I was definitely one of those people that was invested. I remember I created my own email, my first customer support email at 14 years old within the youth entrepreneurship program that was funded by the NAACP. And I remember running into Miss Lisa like 10 years later, right? And you know what was super, super crazy? She was in a different space mentally. She had shared with me that a lot of the youth weren't invested. She had shared with me that the program also had lost funding. So the youth entrepreneurship program was gone. And I saw this post on Instagram yesterday, and it said, community, we have to stop gatekeeping with our resources. We have to start sharing. We have to start teaching the next person. We have to start inspiring. And it really made me sad to run into Miss Lisa and know that she wasn't able to continue to commit to the youth entrepreneurship program because it had lost funding. So the program wasn't around anymore. I'm not sure if it's around now. I ran into her a while ago, but that was my first experience with entrepreneurship. So a Black woman was the first person to sow those seeds into me. The first entrepreneur that I met that really inspired me was her. And I had, my grandfather was an entrepreneur, but he worked more so in insurance. He was more corporate. I never seen someone build something from the ground up that was creative. So that was my first time experiencing that. And I was very proud of what she built. And I was more so inspired by the fact that, like I said, she was sowing seeds into the community. So that was my first experience. Now, after that, I went through high school, and I remember going back to school the next year and selling hoodies and selling clothes out of my locker. Like, I was doing all types of stuff. Like, I was making custom gowns. Like, I was inspired. This really kind of propelled me into my next journey and kind of just inspired me to continue to grow as an entrepreneur. So that's what I did. I went back to school, and I remember 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, I was the girl that used to sell clothing. I used to custom design it and sell it, right? So fast forward, and I attend college. I went to college at the Art Institute of Philadelphia. I studied fashion design. The first day at the school, I remember one of the instructors had said, look left, look right. You know, that whole little rundown they give you, look left, look right. The person next to you is not going to be here at the end. So you have to focus on yourself and motivate yourself. So I took that with a grain of salt. But I remember when I started my studies and I started to have instructors, I started to realize from just paying attention and acknowledging people for what I'm witnessing, I started to realize that a lot of my instructors were aspiring fashion designers. They wanted to be boutique owners. They wanted to be these celebrity designers. And they didn't necessarily attain that goal at that moment. And I remember that two teachers in particular would literally deter us from going after our dreams. One of them told us that you guys aren't going to make more than $40,000 being a designer, which I get at that time. That is the industry standard and industry salary. And right now it's not that much. higher, honestly, if you're looking to be a designer for an actual company that is already pre-built. So I understood what she was saying, but she said, you know, I don't know if you guys didn't do your research, but you're coming here to waste your time. You're going to end up leaving here, and it's going to take you 3 years salary to pay back 1 year of what you're going to be learning with me. Like, I mean, she just kind of did tear dust, and it was not all of it was reality. I felt like she was more so putting a lot of her insecurities onto us and a lot of her dissatisfactions onto us as students. I remember she told us, many of you will not be designers. You will not be successful. And this is a Black woman. And she was telling us this story about how she wanted to get her brand into this huge company. She had the opportunity to do it. And she had a falling out with one of the parties involved. And we remember at that moment, me and a couple of my classmates remember at that moment just being like, whoa, that's what it is. You know, it's personal to her. And that was my second experience with kind of being instructed by, you know, someone within our community. And sometimes she motivated us. Sometimes it was tough love. But I remember a few things that she said that I was just like, wow. And I remember talking to a few of my classmates, and a lot of them were changing their majors, dropping out. Like, it really contributed to a few different decision makings, right? And there were multiple teachers like that. Multiple teachers, but that one really struck a chord with me because I remember feeling uninspired and feeling like I didn't want to do it because I was being told that I'm not going to make it. And mind you, I'm 19 at this point, maybe even 18. I actually moved away when I was 17, so to college. So I'm so young and impressionable, and I didn't feel inspired. So I kind of was able to witness a woman that was able to live her dreams, and her dreams really focused in on including her family. And then I also witnessed somebody that was kind of like just angry, like, I didn't get my opportunity and it's all of y'all fault. And none of you guys will get your opportunity either. And that didn't excite me. Then we fast forward. I graduate college. I get my degree in fashion design. I relocate back to Baltimore. And when I relocated to Baltimore, I was working a 9-to-5 in property management. And I remember within property management, I had a supervisor. And she knew, the job knew from the first day that I was in love with fashion. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to be. That's what I was. I was still taking custom orders on the side. I was still doing custom prom gowns. I was still sewing. And they knew that was my passion. But I was great at selling. I was great at selling real estate. That's what I was good at. I was great at leasing apartments and leasing up from the bottom. So I was able to get that job. And I remember my first supervisor there was a Black woman that was about 10 to 12 years older than me. And she was super inspired by me, and I was super inspired by her. She was a mom. She had been at the company for almost 18 years. Like, she had been there since she graduated high school. And I was so inspired by her as well. And I remember probably about 2 years into the job, I had given notice the very first time. And when I gave notice, right before I gave notice, I remember discussing it. I learned that the hard way too. Don't tell people what you're doing. But I discussed it with one of my coworkers that was a client of mine. And some way, somehow, I know that he ended up telling her something. But I remember she came to me on my lunch break and said, I heard you planning on leaving me. I heard you're planning on quitting. I heard you're planning on rolling out. I just want you to know that this is an opportunity for you to make $80,000 a year. You will never see that type of money off of anything creative. This is something that's sustainable. This is something you can have. So I actually did not give notice. I planned on giving notice that day, and I didn't give it to her. And I might have been 20 years old. Again, I was just like, dang, like, maybe this isn't for me. So fast forward. My next experience, I was greeted by an amazing Black woman by the name of Raven. She actually used to be a client of mine as well. She went to a high school that was kind of like our sister high school in Baltimore. And I used to design a lot of pieces for her. And I remember scrolling through Instagram when Instagram first started getting popping. And I saw this free excerpt that she had from an ebook that she was dropping. And it was all about entrepreneurship and the 5 keys that you need. And one of the things she talked about was customer support. And I was like, maybe this might be another opportunity for me to leave this 9-to-5 for good. Maybe this might inspire me. Maybe this might get me back motivated where I need to be. I always felt motivated, but there were times where there were contributors that allowed me to feel a little unsure of my future. And these are people that were older than me. These were people that I considered to be mentors, you know. So I had to consider those things too at that time, being young and impressionable. So anyway, I'm about 23 at this point. I'm in a whole different office. I'm working around people that fully motivate me. I feel inspired to design. I'm designing pieces every day. And I reach out to Raven, Associate of Business Coaching Program. We had a call and I immediately felt like I can do this full time. Within 4 months of investing in the program, I was out of my 9-to-5. I had made $12,000 in my first 24 hours as an entrepreneur, and I began to connect with other like-minded individuals from all over the world. I'm talking all nationalities. I connected with so many people within this network. Like her network was crazy. And a lot of my co-coaching mates, as I like to call them, we all became friends and we all became partners in business opportunities. And we all began to connect even further. We all began to travel together to invest in ourselves. And it just kind of turned up. And I wanted to share those things because I realized that through my experiences, nobody gave me bad advice. Everybody just gave me their story. And I think that's something that we have to consider when we support businesses is people are just sharing their stories. It's not for you to take and judge. It's not for you to take and consider them a bad person. It's not for you to really make assumptions off of. I didn't really consider that. I just felt like they gave me what they could, right? And I feel like people share their stories. So when you come across people that aren't super happy or excited, or if you come across people that don't want to share information, that's who they are. And their story has built them to feel that way. So kind of piggyback. I told you guys yesterday, I saw on Instagram and Twitter this tweet. And it said to our community, Black community, we have to stop gatekeeping information. The problem is that we're so scared to share information and assist the next person in learning. And the comment section was crazy. And I remember reading that like, I can understand how you feel that way. But I feel like, again, it has to be contributed to like more so of your environment. Who are you around? And I do feel like I have experienced people that don't want to share information. I remember coming up, connecting with people. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was at a networking event. I reached out to this girl probably 5 or 6 years ago to assist me with PR. I was ready to pay. And she told me I wasted her time. I was playing games. Like, she was super disrespectful to me in the email. And she invited me to her networking event. Do you think she remembers that I'm that person? I don't know. But these rooms where I used to feel like I didn't have the opportunity to feel comfortable in, I'm now being invited to. And I wonder, like, it's so crazy how you can walk past somebody and never know that they had this poor experience with your company. They had this poor experience with a team member. They had this poor experience that really attributed to their decision making as it pertains to you as a person. So I think that's why it's so important that you not necessarily don't clam up, but I think it's important that you consider all facets. So I feel like our community, I feel like this is my opinion. I feel like sometimes we lack empathy for each other. I'm an advocate of therapy. I'm a product of therapy. I've been in therapy for many years, and it's attributed to the woman that you see today. I'm not perfect, but what I can say is I don't have a bad attitude. I don't. I don't have a negative attitude. I have a positive outlook, and I try to give everybody that same consideration and empathy. And I think that when you have that mindset, it attributes to the way that you do business. It attributes to the experiences that people have. And not every customer is going to be happy, but it's about how you resolve issues and how you assist them. So first things first, I think that we all need to realize that therapy is a real thing. And I don't care how great you're doing, you should be in therapy. If you cannot afford it, there are resources. And if you don't want to take advantage of the resources, you want to be a know-it-all, I got it all together, I ain't got nothing but the Lord got me, well, God gave you guys therapists. And I think that Black people need therapy. I think it should be like a requirement because we've been through a lot and we are carrying this baggage and it's just attributing to the way that we connect with people. We have this negative connotation that Black women can't get along and we can't do business together. We can't collaborate. We can't connect. We're in a culture where you got to be a city girl and it's so cool to be a gold digger. So people are scared of commitment. We are living in like our last days. It's so scary to me. And I feel like personally, a lot of the attitude that I'm seeing that people are witnessing. I think first things first, before we get into that, let's go back to the empathy. I just want you guys to have empathy. I'm not saying excuse people's behavior. I don't excuse disrespect. I address it, but I don't address it in a way that many people do. For example, I know that I used to be friends with somebody that used to be in my network, and we're no longer friends. That's it. We're just no longer friends. We stopped being friends like a year and a half ago. I set this person down. We went to dinner and I told her why I was, you know, a little more distant in our friendship. And I remember this person just kept talking about people. This person kept having negative things to say about people that they were around, like people that they considered their friends. So if you're doing this to them, what you doing to me? Right. And I realized, like, I remember probably like 6 months later. One thing about me, if we're not friends anymore, I don't check your Instagram. I don't check your page. And this is really from the core, y'all. Again, I'm a product of therapy. I don't do toxicity. I don't check what you're doing. I don't see what you're up to. I just wish you well. And I pray that God keeps you. And I move on with my life. We're out of each other's lives. I have no reason to check in. Right. Like we don't get along. And that's OK. Like, guys, you can't expect to get along with everybody. Like, we just don't get along. But I remember like 6 months into that. I'm not even gonna call this person a mutual friend, but a mutual associate had DM'd me like this subliminal. And I was like, people do this? The person that DM'd the subliminal was probably like 35 years old. So I'm like, yo, this is why you're not where you want to be at in life. This person that DM'd that subliminal is 35 years old, and they've been an aspiring fashionpreneur since I've met them probably 7 years ago. So I responded to her like, we're not friends. This girl doesn't even have my number. And I was like, yo, like, you can't do this. When you immerse yourself in negativity, you become it. And I told that person, this might also attribute to why you're still trying to figure it out, why you're doing the same thing you was doing 7 years ago.
Hey, fashionpreneurs, I hope you are enjoying this entry of the Fashionpreneur Diaries, but I wanted to personally invite you to my brand new masterclass, Wholesale Vendors Decoded. I'm going to teach you how to launch and develop your fashion line, no matter if you're looking to purchase wholesale or become a brand new fashion designer. We're going to cover it all, and it is very quarantine friendly, on a budget. I know things got super real, super quick this year, so I want to help you understand how to effectively launch this brand on a budget while in quarantine. It's still very possible, and I'm still seeing six figures a month, and I want to help you do the same. All right, so make sure that you register now at thefashionpreneuracademy.com.
And I told that person, this might also attribute to why you're still trying to figure it out, why you're doing the same thing you was doing 7 years ago when I met you at a pop-up shop. You still doing them same pop-up shops at them same places. Because you're like, I don't want to see that. And to the person that wrote the subliminal, that's the space you're in. Like, who cares? Like, who cares? And I feel like things become so catty. Like, we have to normalize the fact that people go through things. And I had to respect that previous friend of mine had a story. And all she was doing was living in her story. And your story doesn't, you're still dwelling in your past. You're still dwelling in your story. And that can't really fulfill my future. So I have to let you go. All right. So that's more so what it is for me. So for me, I have empathy to people's stories, and I understand that we all come from a lot of bullshit. That's just what it is. Black people come from a lot, and Black women, who, like, the fact that one of my mentors, she's 53 years old, y'all. My hairstylist, her name is Tracy Warren, Miss Tracy Warren. Look her up on YouTube. Her and her husband has a singles live Facebook show that they do. And they were also just featured on Black Love as a couple. Y'all got to check it out. And I feel like she's my mentor when it comes to love. And I remember she told me, like, she said, the fact that Black people are even able to be in relationship is a blessing, because what we've witnessed and what we've been through, we're not built for this. We are built for it, but nobody prepared us for it. We had to figure it out. We're used to living without fulfillment. We're used to entering into relationships prematurely. We're used to treating these men like they're husbands and they're just your boyfriends. We have normalized having four kids, five kids, six baby daddies. And this is not all the time, this is not across the board, but I've witnessed it in my own family. like in my family. Like this stuff has been normalized to the point where they now come to me and say, well, why don't you have kids yet? Well, I'm not married and I'm waiting on God's direction on that. Well, why don't you have this yet? Why aren't you married yet? Like when did it become normal to do what you want to do instead of follow God's plan? So that's another topic. But what I do want to say is I have empathy. And I know that we've been through a lot. That's what it is. And I'm not going to sit here and advocate that it's okay for us to keep going through these things and normalizing the bullshit. So I'm not going to normalize that it's okay to be out here doing whatever you want. Like we've normalized the city girl profile, this avatar that the woman should be this person. We've normalized that we're going to use men and not love on our black men. That's what's been normalized. So I just have empathy for our community, period. That's all I'm saying. So I have a little of empathy when it comes to that because nobody taught us how to be entrepreneurs. Nobody taught us how to be in relationship. So if we've never been taught how to be in relationship, you can't be. How can you take it so personal when somebody drops that off on you in a conversation because you're upset because you got the wrong package? Like, girl, I've been through a lot today. Think about all that. I've been through a lot today. And you coming at me about a $50 package that UPS deserted somewhere. I'm going to get you that package. But you got to come at me with respect and dignity. Right. That's what we think. I feel like we put ourselves in this pedestal because we should. We run the show. We have the buying power. We are number one every single year. According to analytics and statistics, we have the buying power. We decide everything. When I go on Rodeo Drive, all I see is beautiful black people buying up the stores. That's all I see. All right. Of course, that's another story about what you're purchasing. Do what you want. If that's what you want to do, that's your business. I have empathy for it because pop culture has made you believe that's how you got to live. Okay, cool. Believe me, do your thing, whatever. But I have empathy for us because I know that sometimes we don't know no better. Now, before we keep going, I do want to say that we have to also normalize the responsibility for black people to educate themselves. I feel like we sometimes limit our education. I read comments all the time where people say, girl, I'm not reading all that. Girl, I'm not doing all that. Do y'all understand what our ancestors went through to allow us to have the opportunity to read a book? Everything you want to know is in a book. I go to Barnes & Noble's and I read the back of books all the time. And the only difference between me and anyone else is I read a book. Everything you want to know is in a book. Everything you want to know is in an article. Every statistic that's going to help you decide how you want to move your business, it's there. But nobody wants to read anything. So instead, we want to base everything off of social media, off of memes, off of hate, off of spreading and spewing hate. And we're also not built to be taking in this information and data every day, all day on social media. So I just have a little empathy for all those contributors, from people's stories that contribute to your stories, from pop culture contributing to all of our decision making, popularity, all those things. I have empathy to those things, and I understand that all of that is affecting us as a people and it's only tearing us down. So I just have empathy. Now, that's not saying that I allow disrespect or I appreciate it. Earlier today, I had a lot of meetings. Today was a really long day for me. And I had a meeting with one of my team members, and she is a full-time team member. And I felt this week had been really challenging for her. I texted her yesterday and was like, how you feeling? Like, I just been checking on her a lot. And I felt like mentally, it was a lot on her this week. So we had a challenge this week where she had a couple of exchanges. And this morning she broke down in tears on our call. And she told me, she said, Jess, I came into this lady. She emailed 5 times to ask for something we don't even offer. So this lady had a store credit from back in May. And she said she didn't see anything she wanted to use the store credit on. So can she get the money back? The difference. She didn't see like another product. She like, I don't know how much money left, but it wasn't a lot. And she asked, could she get it back? So we explained to her that she could use the store credit whenever. We have new arrivals coming next week. No, long story short, that's our policy. But the way that the email was formulated was so beautiful. This lady actually emailed us 5 times after hours. And in the 5th email, she said, we can keep this going. I know y'all seeing my emails. We can keep this going all day. I would love to keep this going. Like, how could you drop that negativity? So this turned into my team member now having a really bad day. And she came to me and was in tears like, I hate when they're not happy. I hate when I can't make them happy. And I'm like, I wish customers could see this reaction. Like, she's so passionate about you getting a $40 pair of pants that she's in tears right now. And she's like, and I said, you know, remember, Irreparable Exposure is my baby. That's why I had to step away from customer support years ago. And she said to me, well, Jess, I know it's your baby, but yo, I've been here for almost a year now. And she held her heart and she was like, this is my baby, baby. And I broke down to crying immediately already. Like, yo, the fact that I have someone that invested, it means the world to me. But to know that she's that passionate to make you happy. She said, just what can I do to make her happy? And she's just had a tough week where, like, I just want to know, what would that customer have written Amazon in that format? Would that customer have written MAC Cosmetics in that format? Would they have written their favorite 5-star restaurant in that format? And I feel like sometimes it'll be your own people treating your own business as if you're not qualified to be in the room. And it really hurt my heart because Irregular Exposure, my company, we thrive off customer service. Like, no matter what, I don't care what, you always see that we have stellar service. Even if you didn't have the best experience, you explain that to us. I personally call and reach out. Last week, we had a customer who just, she said that, you know, our customer support team in DM was a little short in assisting her. And she wished it would have been a little bit more rapport. And I remember that day was not a great day for our customer support manager. So I personally reached out to her in a DM. I sent her $100 gift card. And she was like, I never had a company do this. And I said, it means the world to us that you shop with us again. And I think it's imperative, guys, that you consider that everybody, you're just experiencing people's stories when you come in contact with them. So you have to have enough power in yourself to understand that once you relinquish control to somebody else, you have given up everything. So you can't be the company that bites when somebody tries to bite at you. Understand it has nothing to do with you personally. So stop feeling like they're attacking you. Okay, they're just unhappy, and it's our job to make them happy. Now that doesn't mean that we just start giving away free money to everybody and we start just doing whatever, right? But I think that we have to be very, very mindful that the reality is Black people have to work 10 times harder to stay ahead. And it is imperative that we align our service with business ethics and professionalism versus our personal opinion. Okay. So when you want to start giving attitude back in an email, I get it. It's a person, right? But let me tell y'all a little trick. What I want y'all to do is I want y'all to download this app on your Shopify's. All right. It's this app we have called Gorgeous. It's spelled kind of weird. It's like G-O-R-G-I-A-S. I think that's how you spell it. Don't quote me on it, but look it up. So we have this app called Gorgeous, and you can create these macros, basically like draft emails. If you can't get the app, just all it is draft emails, okay? It's like this software where you can organize all your communications. And basically, we've created draft email responses for every customer, even if it gets escalated. So we have this draft email that I love that my first 9-to-5 had taught me, and it's the feel, felt, found system. So when someone's super pissed off and there's nothing you can do, like you've done everything, I want you to put yourself in their shoes and be empathetic, because empathy is the word of the day here. All right. I'm telling you, I'm an advocate of therapy. This is what my therapist told me. You got to have empathy for the world. All right. So first things first, you want to respond by letting that client or customer know you understand how they feel. So that's what we did with our customer earlier that was upset she couldn't get money back. We said, we understand how you feel. We know how important your money is and we value your dollar. Now, however, we have found that once we get new arrivals, that most customers are able to find pieces that definitely fit their needs and their wants. I know you said you were looking for a pair of black pants. Well, I'm really excited to let you know that we're actually adding black pants next week. And I think you might find a size that fits you perfect and in time for your birthday, which is coming up next month. Now, so that's the feel. That's the felt. And the found is what I just said, with the solution. So when you come to people with solutions, they respect you. I have had customers literally writing us in all caps. And by the time we take 10 seconds to just call them on the phone, they hear our tone, everything changes. So I think we need to make sure that we understand that we have to have a great person in place for customer service that is strong, and they have to have a passion behind the company. Now, the employee I told you about earlier, the guys that was in tears earlier today, I actually have been trying to get her to understand that she's in a place where she's graduated from customer support. So she was crying again today. She said, I hate when you're right, Jess. I was like, well, in this case, I'm right. I've been trying to get her to move into other positions within the company. And I didn't always feel like the position was fully right for her until now, because she has she's inspired by style. That's how she got the job. She's a stylist at heart. She does it part-time on her own time. And I told her, I said, I want you to consider this new opening that we have that's going to allow you to work within your field. And she always gets fearful. And she said, Jess, I always get scared. And I said, I think you're scared of new seasons. I think you need to realize that you are so passionate about what you do and you've been here for a long enough time. You've shown that you're qualified for this new season. I want you to consider this opportunity and I want you to realize that it's time for you to grow. And you know what she said to me? Well, Jess, I've built this up. This is my baby. I've built this up so well. I've written all these draft emails. We've created systems together. We're making $93,000 a month, $153,000 a month. I can't get away from this. What if the person that comes in messes it up? And I said, see, that right there is why Black people don't grow. Okay? And it's because we're scared. Black women are, oh my God, we love to say, don't worry, I'll do it. That is our motto. Y'all been seeing the shirts? Don't worry. Black women, don't worry, I get it done. Don't worry, I'll do it. That is our mindset. And I told her, this is how we limit ourselves and we don't become one of those statistics that is one of those growing Black businesses, right? So I think that is so imperative. So with that being said, I think also you have to know when it's time for you to grow out of the customer support role. And I think you also have to know if you're good at customer support or not. So one thing I do want to recommend is that the CEO is not always best at customer support. Okay. So that team member that I was telling you guys about that I feel like is evolving into a new position, I think that she's graduated from customer support. And I feel like you'll know when it becomes overwhelming for you, when it becomes your responses become emotional instead of just solution driven. And I think that you have to learn how to take yourself out of it. I'm telling you, you will get some comments and responses that will make you want to wheel in. But what does that do for your company other than put it out of business? And I think it's imperative that you gotta understand when you are not good at things. And I think, again, Black women, we're the women, we're the people that say, don't worry, I'll figure it out. Black men, y'all are supermen. Y'all just figure it out. Y'all get it done. Well, guess what? The way to stay in business is to realize your strengths and your areas of opportunity. And you're not meant to be everything. You can't be. If you're the CEO and you're the person that's organizing and facilitating the books every day, you're having the accounting meetings, you're checking in with your interns, or you're just checking in with your vendors, you're checking in with your factories, you're doing all that, and then you have to respond to angry people, and that might not be the best position for you. So if you're not great at customer support, I want you to consider some virtual support options. You guys can consider virtual assistants. They're super low cost, like $250 to $350 a month. You guys can consider automated responses. You guys can consider setting up phone numbers where customers can text you and you respond during certain hours. I personally really love the virtual assistant option. But I think that you guys should consider some other options that are very low cost. So you got to understand, y'all, you can't do everything. And as a CEO, I had to learn that. And sometimes I get wheeled back in and I realize that's actually going to deter my growth. I outgrew that position. Now my positioning is more decision making. My position is making sure my staff has everything they need and they're being nurtured so that they can be the best level of their self when they come into the work environment. Everything that I do has to be pouring into them now. And they're in places where they're going to season and they're going to grow so that they can now pour into the next demographic and the next generation coming in under us. And I think if we don't start nurturing and we stop this gatekeeping, if we stop gatekeeping and we start nurturing each other, we're only going to develop businesses that grow. So if we want to have that don't worry, I got it mentality, it's because the world made us this way. We've been forced to be this way from our homes. I've watched my mother be that woman that's like, don't worry, I got it, when my father didn't do his part. I've watched my sister be that person as a single mom before. I've watched so many people experience this. I used to have a really close friend that her mentality was always, don't worry, I got it. And we're no longer friends because I felt like we had outgrown each other. We grew in different directions. And I realized that she was kind of stuck in a space that was like, it was so outdated. And it was forcing her not to grow mentally. And she wasn't realizing that she was having the same problems in 2020 that she was telling me about in 2013. And at that point, you have to be self-aware and realize, maybe it's me. And I can't be around people that can't say that. I can't, because we're never going to grow together. And the importance of growth is identifying certain patterns within your story that you see are attributing to your downfall or your lack of growth. And I think that people grow when they start to acknowledge their story, identify their challenges, and realize that they have to have empathy for themselves, apologize for those things, apologize to those that contributed to it, not hold grudges, because it's going to come off in your energy, not just in the way that you communicate with people, but especially in your business. And I'm sick of seeing these Black businesses where if I book an appointment, it's a $50 deposit, non-refundable. If I don't show up, if I'm a minute late, then my appointment's given away. And if I don't park around back, you're not going to come get me from the elevator. Like, what happened to real support? Like, I booked an appointment with this girl to get my nails done. It was this book report. Oh, when you get here, you're going to have to park in the first park. Then you're going to hit elevator 3. I don't come downstairs to get clients. Then you're going to have to come upstairs. I was like, girl, I keep my nails on that I got right now. I don't do all that. If you can't come greet me at the door, like, what? We've normalized, like, a lack of just customer support and experience. And you're giving your money to these people. I don't give money to people where I don't feel comfortable. I am so loyal. I've been going to the same hairstylist for many years. I went to a new hairstylist and I've become more loyal over there when it comes to saving some money. But I still got my girl, all right, where I go to every single week and follow up on my cuts and my appointments. And I check in with her because I know that it's important for me to make sure that I'm loyal. And I know that I like my experience when I go there. And it's an experience that cannot be touched. It's unmatched. So I think it's important that we build experiences, right? So I can't work with you if you make it hard for me. And I think we just got to make it easier. And I think one of the keys to a regular exposure success is we make it easy for people. Like, the policies are there, but we don't want to be the company where it's per my email, per my FAQ number 3 that nobody reads. That's not how it works. So just have empathy and consider that people don't read. All right. They don't. People, they're not going to read your policies. They're going to get upset if the item doesn't fit and you have no returns because of COVID. They're going to get upset if you have no returns, period. They're going to get upset no matter what. So have empathy for the world and understand that you need a very strong, oriented person in customer service, because you're going to be dealing with a lot of people, with a lot of energy, with a lot of attitudes. And don't be scared to set your standards. I'm not saying give people whatever they want. Set the bar. Tell them, hey, we don't do returns. Last week, we had a girl. She wanted a refund. Well, a couple weeks ago, she wanted a refund. And she said, if I don't get a refund, I'm going to the Better Business Bureau. I was like, yo, these people are ridiculous. And I feel like it's our own people doing this at times. Like, you want to go to the Better Business Bureau over $40 pants? We have not one issue with the Better Business Bureau. And you want to create that over $50 pants, $40 pants? Like, girl, you're not even my target customer. Okay? I don't even want your $40. So you have to understand how to deal with these situations. All right? So I just want you guys to understand that you have to put your foot down, but you have to also understand that you're dealing with people and you need someone really great in place. All right. So the CEO is not always the customer support person. Consider virtual assistants to do that. Consider somebody that has a lot of empathy for people and understands people. Consider people that don't crack, because you're going to deal with a lot of people. And when I tell you there's nothing worse than an angry customer support member, it's nothing worse. All right. So just consider that. Let's stop profiling each other's businesses because we're all Black owned. It's not okay to write somebody an email and say that you're going to send them to the Better Business Bureau if you haven't given them the opportunity to resolve the issue. It's not okay for us to write each other in all capital letters. Like, you're not going to yell at me in an email. We're going to calm down. And one thing that we do at a regular exposure, when it gets to that level, we'll ask, hey, what's a good time to call you? Because we're going to talk over the phone and we're going to let you know. And we want you to hear this tone. I've called so many people and been like, hey, this is Jess, CEO of A Regular Exposure. We've gotten your email. We wanted to touch bases with you. Is now a good time? When you hear that tone, it's going to let you know that everything's going to be okay. So first thing I do is I try to make light of it. I tell my customers, first things first. And it's been a while since I did support. But when I used to say, first things first, take a deep breath and know that we got you. We're going to take care of this. And it's going to be a solution at the end of this conversation. Okay. So we open that door with relaxation. All right, relax, girl. It's just a dress. It's just a pair of jeans. It's just a shoe. Girl, chill. All right. So that's first. And they say, okay, girl, because my birthday coming up. I'm upset. Okay. All right. So then I open the floor for them to talk. Okay. So tell me, I read your email. I understand your frustration. Fill me in. Just kind of explain to me what's going on. Okay. Then I ask customers. We have no problem asking customers this. Now, before we ask this next question, we formulate exactly what they just said. We let them know we're listening. So we kind of just repeat to them what they just said, kind of. All right. So we just mimic it back to them. We say, okay, so pretty much what you're telling me, Miss Jane, is that the jeans didn't work out. They have a rip in the back. They weren't to your standard. The quality was horrible. I'm just making up stuff, right? So that's how we go to it. And we say, is that right? Yes, that's what happened. Okay. All righty. So what I would recommend is the best solution is for us to replace those pants for you. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to send you over a return label free of charge on us. And what I would like you to do is just, if you have a moment tomorrow, drop that off at USPS. I see that your zip code is 90015. There seems to be a USPS just 1 mile away from you. Do you think it's possible for you to drop that off? Okay, great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you this label. I'm also going to send you a 10% off discount code for the next time you shop with us because we value you and we don't want to lose you from this poor experience. Does that sound like something you'll be interested in? Okay. Have I helped you with all your needs today? All right. Boom. Now, if you say no, you ain't helping me with all my needs. Okay. So tell me, this is the question. Tell me, what would you like for the, what is your expectation for the solution today? What do you want to happen? Pretty much ask the questions. Because if I know what you want to happen, then I can tell you if it's possible. Okay? And I'll tell you if it's impossible. But we open the floor for that. And when I tell y'all we have put out so many fires in that way, it's no way around it. You're going to have angry customers. And I want you to feel comfortable. I want you to feel comfortable. Within the Fashionpreneur Cat, I don't get angry clients. All my clients, that is the happiest place. That is my just resort. Okay? The Academy is my resort. But down at a regular exposure, they be terrorizing the town when we got a sale. And it say final sale. And they act like they didn't read final sale. And well, you said it. I didn't see it was final sale. Okay. So let us assist you. All right. Because it's just a pair of pants. So whenever you're feeling flustered, whenever you're feeling irritable, whenever you're feeling like you're not giving the best customer support, I want you first to ask yourself, am I best for this position? Would I hire myself to be in this position? Or do I need to outsource? Yes, you can afford it. I don't care. You can always afford to invest in your company, even if it's an intern who is free. You got to invest in the growth, all right? So I want you guys to ask yourself, am I best for this position? Ask yourself, have you created draft emails to respond to people so when they are upset, you already have something drafted and you can customize it as you go? Ask yourself, have you weighed out all options? And ask yourself if this client doesn't get what they want, if this customer doesn't get what they want, is it going to put my business in jeopardy? Because sometimes it's just not worth it. All right. So know how to pick your battles. Know that it's no need to ever battle because you're just selling clothes. All right. It's just a hoodie. It's just an outfit. It's not that serious. All right. So I want us to understand that I personally don't think that Black businesses have bad service. I think that Black businesses have Black people running customer support. And Black people go through a lot of shit when they get home. They deal with a lot of stuff. When they go to work, they deal with a lot of stuff. I think we are watching 2020 unfold in front of our eyes. And I don't think anybody's been affected more than Black people. Okay. So we've been through a lot. So I just have empathy for it. I put this on Instagram. Like I said the other day, that somebody told me that my response was BS because I said I have a little bit of empathy for us. And I was like, girl, go ahead, do your thing, sis. Like, I was like, girl, have a good weekend. You have to know when to respond, all right? And especially with your customers, you have to respond and give stellar service, but you can't go against, don't go against your standards, all right? I'm not telling you to lower your standards. Don't go against them. Set boundaries, but just be kind and be mindful and put systems in place to avoid anything, all right? Just put them in place, okay? All right, y'all, so that was the last thing I wanted to mention is that we don't trust to hire. So I told you guys that story earlier about my team member, and she was so scared for us to hire someone else to take on a lot of those tasks so that she could be alleviated and do other tasks. And I told her, if we don't hire, how can we ever teach the next person? It's going to be somebody else that's going to be better than you that's going to come in, and you have to trust that. The whole point of hiring is to find someone better. That's the whole point. There should be somebody skilled in something that you're not as skilled in, but that's okay because you have your skills and you're going to focus on them. So if you're the CEO and you're really, really, really good at buying, then be the buyer for your store. If you're the CEO and you're the designer, be the designer. If you're the CEO and you're just the CEO, be the CEO. If you're the investor and you can't really work inside of businesses, be the investor. But if you're great at customer support, be in customer support. And if you're not, set up systems, consider virtual assistants, consider customer support phone numbers, consider draft emails, consider automated responses, consider these things that are going to help your customers. All right. And open the door for people to know that it's not just like, one thing I hate is when I go to sites, websites, and everything says final sale. FAQs. What happens if this doesn't work? What is final sale? Well, how do I know if it fits? I'm buying it off a website. I'm trying here. Like, have some empathy for your customers. Don't create policies that make it hard as hell to shop with you. Like, I think that's something to consider. Are you creating policies that says everything's final sale, nothing can be refunded, everything is what it is, and that's it, shop with my store? That's not how it is when I go into Amazon. So if we want to be treated like Amazon, we got to create some systems and policies like Amazon, right? That's all I'm saying. All right, so nobody taught us. Nobody taught us how to do this. And I personally think that we should have empathy for that. And I think that we should have a little bit of understanding and a little bit of leeway, all right? That's all I'm saying. That's it. That's all. So this is that entry. I hope you guys enjoyed it. So long story short, Black businesses don't have bad customer services. Black businesses are ran by amazing Black people that have gone through a lot of shit. And I think that we should have empathy for all the shit that we've gone through. And I think that we should understand that it's now our responsibility to educate ourselves, not just through books, but also through learning who we are as people and individuals. That's why I'm an advocate of therapy. And I want all of y'all to go, okay? Because we got to learn how to deal with life. And if we don't know how to interact with people, you will never know how to interact to grow your business to the next level. All right. And we have to learn how to interact with people, not just for customer support, but for networking. I used to be the girl that was like, oh, I ain't networking out here, or I had bad experiences networking with these girls or these guys. So I'm taking a year off from networking. I'm not dealing with nobody. I was in that place before. And I realized that's because of my story. I haven't always been able to trust people that were on my team. I didn't always have the best experiences at these networking events. And I would see that mean girls have the best events, and I don't want to be a part of that. So I had to experience that. And now it's just opened me up to realize that everybody's not like that. Some people are really, really, really great. And I choose to focus on the really, really, really great in people. And I actually love to pull that out when they are especially trying to be super stern and angry and mean. I try to pull that out of them. Like, I'm going to make you happy in every way possible. All right. So, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this entry. I really enjoyed it. This was very therapeutic, and I hope that really just assisted you guys. It was a lot of gems here, and I hope you guys consider some of the applications we talked about. Gorgeous. I think it's G-O-R-J-I-S. I don't know. I'm lying. I don't know. But Google it. It's on Shopify. It's a really great application, and you guys can develop your own draft macros, which are like draft emails to respond to clients with links. Consider virtual assistants. Look on Fiverr.com for virtual assistants. Craigslist is a gem as well. People sleep on Craigslist, but it's a lot of people that offer services. So check it out. And I hope that you guys continue to grow. And let's change the statistic that we're just the people that open the businesses and we don't grow them. All right, y'all. I'll talk to y'all in the next entry.